A very familiar story of Phoenician origin. In the past, so the poets tell us and we believe, it happened in several places. But it has not happened in our time, and I don't even know if it could happen. People would take a lot of persuading. "You seem a bit reluctant to tell your story," he said. "With good reason, as you will see when I do tell you." "Don't worry," he said. "Tell it." "Very well, I will, though I don't know how I shall have the nerve or find the right words. I have to try and persuade, first of all, the rulers themselves and the soldiers, and then the rest of the city, that the entire upbringing and education we gave them, their whole experience of it happening to them, was, after all, merely a dream, something they imagined, and that in reality they spent that time being formed and raised deep within the earth, themselves, their weapons, and the rest of the equipment which was made for them. When the process of making them was complete, the earth, their mother, released them, and now it is their duty to be responsible for defending the country in which they live against attack, just as they would defend their mother or nurse, and to regard the rest of the citizens as their brothers, born from the earth. No wonder you were so embarrassed about telling us your lie. Yes, I had good reason, I said, but you must listen to the second half of the story as well. You are all brothers, our story will tell them, all of you in the city, but when God made you, he used a mixture of gold in the creation of those of you who were fit to be rulers, which is why they are the most valuable. He used silver for those who were to be auxiliaries, and iron and bronze for the farmers and the rest of the skilled workers. Most of the time, you will father children of the same type as yourselves, but because you are all related, occasionally a silver child may be born from a golden parent, or a golden child from a silver parent, and likewise any type from any other type. The first and most important instruction God gives the rulers is that the thing they should be the best guardians of, the thing they should keep the most careful eye on, is the compound of these metals in the souls of the children. If their own child is born with a mixture of bronze or iron in him, they must feel no kind of pity for him, but give him the position in his society his nature deserves, driving him out to join the skilled workers or farmers. On the other hand, any children from those groups born with a mixture of gold or silver should be given recognition and promoted either to the position of guardian or to that of auxiliary. There is a prophecy, God tells them, that the end of the city will come when iron or bronze becomes its guardian. Well, that's the story. Can you think of any possible way of getting people to believe it? No, he said. Not the actual people you tell it to, but their children might, and their children after them, and the rest of the population in later generations. Even that might help them to care more about the city and one another. I think I see what you're getting at. Anyway, let that turn out as popular belief and tradition will have it. Our job now is to arm these earth-born warriors of ours and lead them forth with the rulers at their head. Let them go and look for the best place in the city to put their camp, a place from which they can most easily control their own citizens, if any of them refuse to obey the laws or repel any external threats in the event of some enemy coming down on them like a wolf on the fold. When they have set up their camp, they can sacrifice to the appropriate gods and then organise their sleeping accommodation. Does that sound right? Yes, he said. Should it be the kind of accommodation which will give them adequate shelter both in winter and summer? Of course. This is their home you're talking about, I take it? Yes, I said, but a home fit for soldiers, not for businessmen. What is the difference in your view? I'll try and tell you. When shepherds are breeding dogs as protectors of their flocks, The worst possible disaster and disgrace, I imagine, is to breed dogs whose nature and training are such that lack of discipline, hunger, or some fault of character leads them to try to attack the sheep themselves and start behaving like wolves instead of dogs. Yes, of course, that's a disaster. In that case, we must guard in every way we can against our auxiliaries doing the same sort of thing to the citizens. After all, they are stronger than the citizens. We don't want them behaving like savage masters instead of friendly allies. Yes, we must guard against that, he said. Won't the best insurance against this be for them to have received a really good education? But they have received one, he said. And I said, we can't be sure of that, my dear Glaucon. What we can be sure about is what we have just been saying, which is that when it comes to gentleness, both to themselves and to those under their protection, then the right education, whatever that may be, is the key. Yes, we're right to be sure of that. In addition to this education, an intelligent observer may say the guardian should be furnished with housing and a general standard of living which will not hinder them from becoming the best possible guardians, and which will give them no encouragement to do wrong in their dealings with the rest of the citizens. He may say that, and he'll be quite right. Well then, I said, do you agree with some suggestions about the way they should live and be housed, if this is what we want them to be like? In the first place, no one is to have any private property beyond what is absolutely essential. Secondly, no one is to have the kind of house or storeroom which cannot be entered by anyone who feels like it. For their subsistence, which should meet the needs of self-disciplined and courageous warrior athletes, they should impose a levy on the rest of the citizens, and receive an annual payment for their role as guardians, which leaves them with neither a surplus nor a deficiency. They should live a communal life, eating together like soldiers in camp. As for gold and silver, they should be told they already have in their souls all the time the divine gold and silver given to them by the gods. They have no need of human gold in addition, and it is sacrilege to contaminate the divine gold they possess by adding to it a mixture of the perishable gold, since the gold in circulation among ordinary people has been the cause of much evil, whereas their own gold is pure. To them alone, out of the city's population, is it forbidden to handle or touch gold or silver, or be beneath the same roof, or wear it as jewellery, or drink from gold or silver cups. In this way they will be kept safe, and they will keep the city safe. Once they start acquiring their own land, houses and money, they will have become householders and farmers instead of guardians. From being the allies of the other citizens, they will turn into hostile masters. They will spend their whole lives hating and being hated, plotting and being plotted against. Their fears of enemies inside the city will be much more numerous and more acute than their fears of enemies outside the city. Both they, themselves, and the city will be heading at full speed towards imminent destruction. For all these reasons, shall we say that our guardians are to be provided with the housing and way of life we have described? Are these the laws we should enact, or not? They certainly are, said Glaucon.